In your Bibles, the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 1. Luke chapter 1. If you have a red letter Bible, go to where the red letters start and go over a couple of books. Although you've heard me say Yeshua in the when I've been talking about Jesus, the Hebrew is Yeshua, where we get Joshua. With the Greek translation is Jesus, Jesus. We bring that over into English, Jesus. It means Lord save. So when we're calling on Yeshua, Jesus, we're saying Lord save us. Lord save us. I oftentimes like to use the Hebrew name, what Jesus was called. I believe there's power in the name of Jesus. And I think when you use the name that he was actually called when he was on earth, I think there's even more of a ring to really believe, you know, Yeshua, come and save. If you were wondering why I switched back and forth, Yeshua is the Hebrew for Jesus. And we're saying, come and save us, O Lord. And that's exactly what he did. When Yeshua came, he came to save. And to save to the utmost. Let's pray together. O Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the words that you gave to us in Scripture. And thank you for your holy word made flesh in your Son. O Son of God, come by your Spirit now and speak to us. Speak to our hearts, speak to our minds, Lord, speak to our lives and let us be changed. Lord, no matter what it is that we need today in our lives to change, come and do it for us. Lord, help us to understand more of your word, but Lord, don't let it just be head knowledge. Let it prick our hearts. Let it show us what we need to do to become closer to you, to be more like you, to spread your gospel abroad, to shine your light. Lord, speak to our hearts and let it change our lives. Please, God, don't let this just be an hour to come and to get filled up, but to come and get what we need to and be a light to the world. Change us today. Lord, as much as you changed the world, as soon as you came into it, let us be Christians, little Christs, to go out and to change the world in the same manner. That your kingdom might spread and that your glory might fill the earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Last couple of weeks, we've been kind of doing character sketches out of Luke. Talked about Zechariah, John's father, and when he received the word from Gabriel that they were going to have a son. And remember, Gabriel told him, you didn't believe me, and so you're not going to be able to speak. And really what there it looks like is not only just not speak, but you're not going to be able to hear either. And so he was speechless, and he couldn't hear until the birth of John. So probably at least 9-10 months before John was born. We talked about Mary. And how Mary was a young girl, a young maiden, the most unlikely of people from a little hamlet, though God saw that she was willing to be used. And God took her and made something great by giving his son to be born through a young girl. We're going to keep on going with the story. You see Elizabeth today. And really, this is more about John than it is about Elizabeth and Zechariah. But God uses them to show who John is. If you want to follow along, you can. I'm going to try to more tell you the story here. Remember, Mary hears from Gabriel. The same angel comes and tells Mary, you're going to have a child. And by the way, your cousin Elizabeth is already pregnant. So Mary goes to Elizabeth right away. Let me read this little section for you. It says, now at the time, Mary rose and went in a hurry to the hill country, to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. She cried out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord. We see then after that, not too long, Mary left and it was time for John to be born. Kind of an unusual circumstance. If you remember, Elizabeth was older. Zacharias is not speaking. He's not hearing. They're having to make motions to him, try to write on a tablet. So John is born. 8 days later, as the Jewish custom is, and this is what's unusual, is it seems like neighbors come, friends come for his circumcision. I'm glad that's not the custom anymore. They come over and they for his circumcision, and they say, okay, what's the baby's name? And Elizabeth says, we're going to name him John. And everybody kind of scratches their head and said, wait a second. Now, I don't know about you, it wasn't our custom either for everybody to question the name of our kids. Why'd you do that? No, don't do that. Don't name him John. Don't name it Karis or Kaylin or... But they did. Why'd you name him John? There's nobody in your family named John. Let's name him Zacharias after his father. And they look over at Zacharias and they try to tell him what they're saying. Kind of rudimentary sign language. And he gets a tablet and he said, it's very interesting. He says, his name is John. Not we're going to call him John, but it was already been done. Whatever Elizabeth said, it's done. His name is John. And you see at that point that Zacharias, his ears are opened, his tongue is loosed, and you read, and we'll look at it here in a little bit, the prophecy of Zechariah, where he both gives God glory, and then he also speaks of his son, John, and the mission that John has to prepare the way for the Messiah, to go ahead of him, to bring the people to repentance, to make ready for the way of Jesus. What we see in this story here is about incarnation. Incarnation. We think about that word incarnation as the incarnation of Jesus, God becoming flesh. And of course, this is part of that. God becoming flesh. And in this part of the story, it's God becoming flesh, starting as a couple of cells in Mary. And wasn't very big when she got to Elizabeth. But God is incarnated in the flesh, but he also is incarnated within each one of us. And what we see is in this story is that incarnation is about transference. Incarnation is about a spiritual transference. I know you all are scratching your heads at this point. That's okay. You'll see it here in a minute. Incarnation, Jesus coming in the flesh, is about a spiritual transference. We see that it all starts with Jesus. Mary is overshadowed by the Spirit of God, and she begins to carry the Son of God. When she walks into the house where Elizabeth is, John leaped for joy. Why? Remember, Gabriel had told Zacharias that your child, your son, will be filled by the Spirit even when he is in his mother's womb. And as soon as Mary walks in, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, I don't know how it works, okay? I'm just saying this is what happened. The Spirit of God jumped over and it hit John, and he leapt for joy while he was in Elizabeth's womb. It was this transference, a spiritual transference, where he was filled by the Spirit of God at that point. We're going to get into more of that in just a moment. But the first thing is first, it begins with Jesus. See, Mary was impregnated by the Holy Spirit. We also need to, if you will, be impregnated by the Holy Spirit. Guys, I've never been pregnant. I know a lot of you ladies have been. But my understanding is you get pretty filled up. And you better hope it's not 100 degrees in the middle of summer. And let me tell you, when that baby is ready to come out, see, I'm kind of thinking about that a little bit this morning. We have a birthday in our house this morning. And of all of our kids, who were ready to face the world, this one was the most ready. And you can see it on her face anytime you look at her. She just, every morning, I promise you, every morning, she I don't care, first thing in the morning, it could be 6, 6:30, she comes in with this great, big, huge smile on her face. Where is she? There she is. Happy birthday, baby. She was ready to come and to face the world, and she is every morning. We need to be so full of the Holy Spirit, so, if you will, impregnated by His presence, that we're just bursting, that everywhere we go, the Holy Spirit comes out. It's like this: if you have a glass that's absolutely full of a drink of water or Coke, right? And you say, you know why they did Cheers, right? You know they'd make a toast and people knock their glasses together. It was so that it would intentionally spill over, and it was basically, I'm going to make sure that you don't have poison in your glass and I don't have poison in my glass, and we're going to knock together. And if I'm poisoned, so are you. If you're poisoned, so am I. There's a spilling over. Are you full enough of the Holy Spirit that wherever you go, it spills over? You have to find how it is that you are able to get more full of Jesus, more full of His Spirit. Wherever you go, the Holy Spirit should just be ready to pop out of you. That you come into contact with somebody at work or at the store or at your kids' classes or somebody, the people that you minister to on a daily and weekly basis. And every time you come in contact with people, they should be looking at you going, I don't know what's different about you, but I got to have that. Let me tell you, the greatest thing that you can do in your life is find how it is to be more full of Jesus. One of those ways is prayer. Spend more time in prayer. Spend more time fasting. That's really hard this time of year. Spend more time in worship. Something the Lord's been dealing with my heart recently about is saying, you know what? Worship is a weapon of warfare. It's also a way to get into God and to let Him minister to you. It's a way that you can be able to minister to God. Get more into worship. Spend time in His Word. Whatever it takes to get to the point where you're so full of the Holy Spirit that He's just bursting to come out. Ladies, you know how that feels when the baby says, "It's time," and I don't care where you are, it's time. You should feel that way about the Holy Spirit every day. Guys, I'm not there. But I'm trying. I'm pressing daily to get more, to be filled more. It begins with Jesus. But then you have the transference to others. It's really interesting. Gabriel tells Zacharias, "Your child, your baby, will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from the time he's in his mother's womb." And Mary comes in, John leaps for joy, and who gets filled with the Spirit? Elizabeth. Did you catch that? There's a quick transference that happens there. Jesus, John, Elizabeth. Boom, boom, boom. Later, you see Zacharias. He gets filled with the Spirit and starts prophesying. How many times have you walked into some place and the atmosphere has been changed just because you're there? I'm not saying because you walk into the house mad and everybody starts going crazy, okay? I'm talking about you're so full of the Spirit of God that you walk in some place and somebody goes, "Who are you?" Let me tell you about a few times in my life. And that, look, guys, I know this is not something that's going to happen every day. It may not even happen every week. But if it's not happening, go back to number one. Remember one of the first times this happened with me, and it was more, I was drawing off of someone else. I knew that I needed to be filled with the Spirit, and I knew how to do that. What God wanted to do is, at Bible study on this particular week, I know my pastor was there, and I just felt, you know what, is when he touches me, I will be filled with the Spirit. But he didn't know it. I didn't tell him. But I've always had, I grew up, I mean, when I was a little baby with this pastor, he and I always had a really good relationship. You know, Easton would always come up and he'd come and give me a great big bear hug. And that's how I was with my pastor when I was his age. And here I'm in high school and a new church plant. And I just knew when I saw him that night at our Bible study, when he shook my hand, when he gave me a hug, the Holy Spirit would fill me. From that point forward, that's exactly what happened. There was this another time, and that was me drawing, but another time, we had a guest musician come into our church named Kent Henry. He is a worship leader and music writer, writes worship music. And I had gone and gotten some McDonald's for our worship leader, and because they were all setting up the stage and making sure everything was right. And I walked in, and here I am, the sandwich boy. And I walk up, and it's our worship leader and Kent Henry. And our worship leader, Glenn, said, "Hey, you know, this is Kent Henry." And I said, "Hi, nice to meet you." And he took one look at me and said, "Who are you?" So the glory of God is just all about you. And he starts prophesying over me. Do you ever walk into some place and somebody just says, "Who are you?" Where the atmosphere changes just because you walk in and they know that the Spirit of God is on you. They recognize it in such a way that the atmosphere changes. It's not happened to me a whole lot, but it has happened a number of times. I want it to happen a lot more. And again, if that has not happened to you, see number one and repeat. Find whatever it is you need to find in your life. Go to the Lord in prayer and find out, how can I be so full of the Spirit of God that wherever I walk into, whatever circumstance, whatever group of people, that they recognize that the Holy Spirit is on me in so much power. They are filled, they are changed, they're transformed. They look and they say, "The glory of God is all over you. What do I need to do?" I know a lot of you might be saying, "Yeah, but Pastor, we're talking about John the Baptist. We're talking about Jesus and John here. What? I'm just me." Hold your finger in Luke, okay? Flip over to the Gospel of Matthew. I want you to see this. A lot of times I'll just tell you what it says. I want you to see this with your eyes. I want you to get it into your heart. Hopefully you'll believe it. It's written in the Word, okay? Matthew 11, verse 11. Who has a red letter edition? What color are your letters? Matthew 11, 11. Purple? Red. This is in Jesus' mouth. Matthew 11, 11. "Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there's not arisen anyone greater than John the Baptist." And you're going, "See, I told you, preacher. Among those born of women, no one's greater than John. Yet, the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." Anyone in here part of the kingdom of heaven? Come on. Are you saved? Jesus says, "You are greater than John the Baptist." Let's infect the world like he did. The incarnation is about transference. It's a spiritual transference. It's transference of the Spirit of God from one person to the other. Starts with Jesus. Starts with Jesus, the Holy Spirit in your heart, in your life. Get it. Spend more time. If you need help, let me know. We're all on the journey together. I'm not there. I haven't arrived, but I'm on my way. And I've been in situations. I've been in places where the Spirit of God is so thick, it's like you could cut it like with a knife. You walk in and it's just, you're overcome by His presence. Get to that point in your life. That's what He wants. That's what God wants for you. It's a transference from you to others. It results in the praise and glory of God filling the earth. Verse 67, Zechariah begins to prophesy. Said he was filled with the Holy Spirit. I love it. Transference there. Prophesied saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for He has visited us and accomplished redemption for His people. And He raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of David, His servant. He spoke by the mouth of His holy prophets from old, salvation from our enemies, from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy toward our fathers, to remember His holy covenant, the oath which He swore to Abraham our father, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hand of our enemies, might serve Him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before Him all our days." Did you hear the praise? He's worshiping the Lord. "And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare His ways, to give to His people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, with which the sunrise from on high will visit us, to shine upon those who sit in darkness and shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." And the child continued to grow and to become strong in the spirit. He lived in the desert until the day of his public appearance to Israel. He praises God and he starts to say, this is who John the Baptist, my child, was going to be. He's going to prepare the way for the Messiah. The sun will rise with healing in His wings. Speaking of Jesus. And His government will have no end. And peace will reign over the whole earth. The goal of this is the spiritual transference is to bring God's kingdom everywhere we go for the praise of His glory and that His kingdom might spread over all the earth, resulting in righteousness and peace and joy. The result is praise. Worship, His glory will fill the earth. It's easy to say, it's a lot more difficult to imagine. We repeat it every time of this time of year, every year. Talking about His praise, His glory, that His government will have no end. The government will be upon His shoulders. He'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. What would your workplace, your school, what would your town look like if everywhere in the town where you went, it was filled with the Holy Spirit? Filled with His peace, filled with His joy, filled with His government. What would our state look like if you went into the Capitol and you saw the beautiful domes and you walk in and you see this statue and you can look all the way up into the rotunda and you went in and you look up and the Holy Spirit is dripping down on you. The lawmakers in our state are all on their knees saying, God, how should we run our state? What is it? What laws should we reenact? What laws should we enact? What laws should we make? How do you think Connecticut will look? What would happen if in every branch of our government, all of our officials were doing the same thing? From the White House to the Congress to our to the Supreme Court, that everyone was daily falling on their knees saying, okay, God, use me today. Would it look a little bit different than it does right now? It's because the incarnation is about spiritual transference. And we, his people, must be the ones to transfer the Spirit of God to others. It begins with Jesus. If you don't have him so full in your heart that he's ready to pop out to whomever you meet, get filled. If you want me to pray for you to do that, I'll pray for you this morning. We'll gather around you and we'll pray that God fills you up to the absolute fullest. Get filled. Be ready. Be expecting. When you go and when you talk to others, wherever it is that you are, it's great. We like to see this happen in our own lives. We try. It doesn't always happen, but we go out and something we're doing for Christmas is trying to bless different people, you know, as a Christmas countdown, just to be able to go in and say, hey, look, we're going to bless somebody today with this or in this other way, and we're expecting that people will be blessed, that they will feel the presence of God. Our prayer is that they'll feel God's presence when we do it. We're expecting. Are you expecting that when you walk in, people will be changed? Are you expecting every day when you walk into your office or to the store or that it's going to be the same old, same old? The result is that God's praise, his worship, his glory will fill the earth. It can start with us. It can start right here. Let's do it together. Let's pray. Oh Lord, come and fill us.